Bet on the Spring Carnival with Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie.
And here we go.
Buckle up.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier. Rush.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
Friday is here. And MG, I mean, I could not be in a better mood this Friday. And there's one man to thank, and his name is Matthew Wade.
Our man, Matty Wade, mind you. We petitioned for him a couple of years ago to get back in the team, and guess what? He's back in the team, and he's kicking some butt.
The game, if you missed it this morning, Australia against Pakistan. We'll get to the details of the game itself, but suffice to say, Australia are through to the T20 World Cup final against New Zealand. A new winner is going to be crowned, because neither team has ever won the tournament before. Looking at the run sheet, though, we got the new Bunnies coach. I think it's the first time we've had a South Sydney coach on this, the head coach on this show in many years. Jason Demetriou are going to join us.
Yeah, obviously his predecessor, Mr. Bennett, was very hard to get a hold of for a chat. But, Jason Demetriou, or JD as he's known, I think will be a good chat. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does with this team next year.
It's strange because Wayne was always happy to chat to you in the hallways of the grounds when we'd bump into him.
Oh, yeah.
But
give me a big we're in hugging stage.
You're at cuddle mode.
Yeah, cuddle mode.
He's trying to recruit you to the Dolphins.
Well, everyone else has been recruited there. Why not me?
They got money to spend, mate. Also, very excited to have this man on. He holds the Australian boxing world in the palm of his hands. The CEO of No Limit Boxing and a one-time pretty handy forward back in the NRL as well, George Rose.
Yeah, he's got the whole world in his hand. As you say, the boxing world has been a light since his company has taken over, and I can't wait to have a chat with the big gorgeous either.
And of course, we'll finish off the show with some blankety blanks with producer Charlie. But to start our Friday,
what's cracking?
He does it again. This is a match-winning effort, and history has repeated itself somewhat. Australia into the final.
We did it, MG. We're there. Never any doubt. We are through to the T20 World Cup final.
Yeah, Pakistan posted a pretty reasonable score of 4 for 176 with Rizwan 67, Zaman 55, and Mitchell Starc, I suppose, was the best of our bowlers at 2 for 38. But then it was the Marcus Stoinis and the Matty Wade show, wasn't it?
Oh, and look, David Warner, well done, top scored with 49.
Yeah,
we saw Finch go cheap early. Our captain got out to an absolute peach of a delivery. Steve Smith went cheaply, and I was thinking, oh no. And then Marcus Stoinis, the most handsome man in world cricket, joined by the most tenacious man in world cricket, Matty Wade.
Oh yeah.
For those that didn't see it, the 19th over, the second to last over, this game was on a knife's edge, and then Matty Wade is dropped.
Oh.
He's dropped in the deep. That was game over. It would have been game over. There's Pakistan into a final. And what does he do after he gets dropped?
Bang, bang, bang,
he
bang.
He saddles up and proceeds to ramp the next delivery for six.
Mm-hmm.
Then he sends the next one over mid-wicket for another six. And with six runs needed to win the game, he goes the ramp again, MG.
I know. I suppose confidence is an amazing thing, isn't it? And very much like England in the other semi-final, Pakistan basically dropped their chance to win on the final. But, you know, 41 off 17 balls, that was just a fantastic cameo from Matty Wade.
And let's not forget, Matty Wade is a man that, I mean, Warnie, I feel like Warnie called for half of the team to be dropped throughout the tournament at various stages. But Warnie said, I think Matty Wade needs to go, and I think Josh Inglis needs to come in and have a crack. Yeah, but here's what Matty Wade had to say when he was handed the player of the match award afterwards.
Yeah, it's hard to say at the moment. Probably hasn't sunk in. I only just finished batting, so when I sit down tonight, I suppose it'll sink in. And yeah, it's I'm just happy I could contribute. I was out of the team 2 or 3 years ago, and I managed to get an opportunity, you know, 20 games ago, and start keeping again. And just happy I repaid the faith a little bit.
That's where you should say thanks to the rush hour.
I was about to
at
say
the end of it.
Yeah,
two or three years ago, I remember it vividly.
Yep.
We both chat about it. And I think you were the first one to you know, bang the drum for his cause.
Campaigned very hard. Campaigned.
And I jumped on board and I said, yeah, you know what? You're onto something here, Liam. Let's get him back in the team. We got him back in the test team.
Yep.
Now we've got him back in the T20 team. He looks like he's going to win a World Cup for us.
Well, it's a trickle-down effect once you're back in the test team. Once you've got the baggy green on your head, it's a trickle-down effect. And
100%.
So, you know, you join the dots. We are responsible for Matthew Wade. We are responsible for Australia being in a World Cup final we're getting at.
That's all we ask for. A bit of a thank you.
I mean, we fixed the West Tigers. Yeah. Now we're getting Australia into T20 World Cup finals.
You know, we should be called instead of the rush hour. Bob the Builder. We can fix it.
1-3-3-5-3. If you've got something that needs fixed, just give us a buzz. We'll sort it out for you. Look, well done to the Aussies. A terrific team performance. Monday morning is going to be absolutely all time. 1 a.m. Sydney time, New Zealand taking on Australia.
Oh.
Sucked in England. Go and get ready for the Ashes test. We've got a T20 World Cup to win. MG, it's always a privilege when we get to speak to someone for the very first time on this show. We've obviously, over the years, had lots of players and coaches on, but for the very first time, and now as the official head coach of the South Sydney Rabbitohs, we get to welcome in Jason Demetriou. G'day, Jason.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We are fantastic, JD. Mate, first of all, how have you settled into the head coaching role at the most famous club in the land?
Yeah, it's been good, actually. Had some new staff come on board, so a bit of a planning week, and then got the young fellas in at the moment. So it's a bit of a staggered approach to the start, which is ideal, I think, suits us well.
Jason, is there an office? Like, is there the head coach's office? Had Wayne cleared his stuff out and you've now moved yourself in?
Oh, yeah, I'd put my feet under the desk before he left.
Good.
I'm obviously only joking. The boss has his office and, obviously he moves out. So, you make subtle changes that the way you want it to look and, we're all ready to go.
You've had a fantastic relationship with Wayne Bennett. It's like the son, the coaching son that he never had. And I think that the way he goes about things, I always say, JD, that I would have loved to have been coached by Wayne Bennett. And I think that he would have been a fantastic bloke to be coached by him. What's so special about the man, do you think?
Yeah, I think just his authenticity and the way he goes about things. He's his own man and he knows what works for him and how he builds relationships with the players. I think that's his first thought every morning when he gets up, is how the players feeling today and how can he help them be better men, but also enjoy themselves playing footy. And he does it day in, day out, and it's a pleasure to work with him.
Jason, how did you find this season, knowing that you were stepping into the senior role in 2022 and for this preseason? How did you find the day-to-day, and did you find yourself thinking, I'll do that slightly differently next year? And was it hard to sort of compartmentalise those thoughts?
Yeah, I had to be pretty disciplined in that area. And I think, we both had to make sure that we were both respectful of obviously any planning I was doing for next year, but mainly the fact that Wayne was still the head coach, that wasn't going to change in my eyes until he finished. And I owed him that respect. And I made sure that anything I did was what I had always done, and that's do whatever I could to help the boss get the job done.
You've obviously had a bit of a setback earlier in the year around Magic Round with Adam Reynolds signing for the Broncos. That's well documented. But you've had some luck of late with Callum Mutungi and Cody Walker both agreeing to extend their deals, which is a fantastic boost for your club.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. They're both guys who've been in system for a while and people that we wanted to obviously extend long term, and we see them as the future of the club. So it's great to get those guys tied in, and we've got the core group of players that we wanted to keep locked in for a long time, which is good.
Can you tell us who is going to be captain next year?
I can tell you one of four players it'll be.
Okay. Who's it out of?
Obviously, our senior team is Cameron Murray, Cody Walker, Damien Cook and Latrell Mitchell, and they've done an outstanding job last year and have really grown and matured in terms of the leadership role, and it'll come from one of those four.
And what will be, will this be a process that you speak to the playing group and the coaching staff, or will you just pick your guy?
Oh, I think, a bit of both. I know I've got strong ideas on who it should be, and obviously I've got a great relationship with the playing group and spent 3 years working with them, so I know probably who is best suited to the role. I'll sit down with the senior group and have some collaboration. I think that's obviously something as well that I learned from Wayne, was making sure that, I'm working with the guys. It's about coming on a journey with me, not my way or the highway.
You spent a lot of time, JD, over in the English Super League and leagues under that. I played a season over there at the Sheffield Eagles. I know you played the Keighley Cougars, which we come up against in a couple of occasions. Do you think there's some way, shape or form that there can be that conduit from the Super League to the Australian teams? Obviously, Canberra have already done it. Would you have the kind of enterprise, that notion?
Yeah, I think, as a coach, in terms of recruitment, you got to be looking everywhere. And I think there's some untapped talent still in the Super League. I think that's been evident in nearly every player who's come over in recent years has gone on and done well and established himself in the NRL. So it's obviously something we're looking at. Contractually, it's hard to do because the better clubs over there will lock players into long-term deals, and it's hard to get them out without paying transfer fees and all that type of thing. But, yeah, definitely it's something that, we've got access to and that we'll be keeping an eye on.
Jason, can you tell me what number Blake Taft's going to be wearing in 2022?
Oh, I can tell you, in round one and two, he'll be wearing number one.
Nah. There's a loophole. You are, he walks straight good. Into it. Yep.
You're very good. You've learned off the best, I tell you. What about as far as, you know, obviously you haven't been back that long, if most of them aren't back at all, but out of this young crop, the team that played against the Dragons and when most of your stars were out just before finals footy, if you could nominate one or two of these guys to look out for this year, which ones would they be, JD?
Yeah, I think obviously Lachlan Ilias, who stepped into the halfback role, I think he's going to have a big future at the club. I'm really conscious of making sure that we help him develop into that role and not expose him to too much too early. And I think it's important to remember that the pathways have had 2 years of disruption and not a lot of footy. And as a club, we got to understand that and be patient. But also think young Davey Mowali as well, who's played SG ball last year and few games in flag and then debuted in first grade and held his own. So he's only going to be better for the run as well. But we've got some good kids in there and we've put some staff around them to make sure that we get those guys to the level we need to get them to.
MG, this is exciting for mine because, as you know, with all the respect that we have for Wayne Bennett, we didn't talk to him a lot. We didn't hear from Wayne. We didn't hear from
many,
Wayne a
not
lot.
Not many did, mate. Not
so
many did.
So I'm very excited for us.
Mate, Jason, JD's even on Twitter, mate. Like, we can get hold of him on Twitter. What about Instagram? Instagram and LinkedIn? Are you on them?
Yeah, well, I'm on LinkedIn. Not that I ever use it, but I'm on it.
MG's big on LinkedIn. Jason.
Oh, let's connect, JD. Let's connect.
Let's connect.
No, this is very exciting for Triple M NRL into 2022 to have Jason Demetriou in charge of the Bunnies. Jason, yep. Best of luck with the rest of the preseason. We cannot wait to see your team out in the park in 2022.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Here we go.
The Rush Hour Odds Update. Take a same game multi with Bluebet, now available on all footy games.
MG, we won the cricket overnight, early hours of this morning, and presumably the market's already up with our friends Bluebet, and they've got his Australia installed as hot favourites. Let's bring in Duncan McRae to check on the odds. Dunk, are the Aussies favourite against the Kiwis Monday morning?
Yeah, good evening, Liam. $1.62 for Australia, $2.25 for the Kiwis, and all the money's been for Australia. As soon as the market went up, we're $1.70, bang, into $1.62 for Australia. So we're homegrown. We love supporting our own boys.
Oh, we do, mate. We can't wait to support them. On 1 o'clock Monday morning, but racing this weekend heads north to Newcastle. Race 8, the Hunter. There's a couple of fantastic horses in this race. Lost and Running, Huey Bowman and John O'Shea, and Top Ranked, that team again, McDonald and Neesham. Who do you like at Bluebet there, Dunk?
Yeah, well, the Bluebet punters, MG, they're very keen on Lost and Running. We went up $3.40. It's now $2.90 outright favourite. $4.60 for Top Ranked. And then we get out to a bit of money round for Gem Song, 26 into 19, and Kemantari, $21. And, MG, I've just got to apologise to the people from Rose Hill last week. I call him the Wild West, a very loyal listener of yours, who I won't name, but is the current Melbourne Cup winning trainer, rang me and took umbrage with it. So whenever I mention Rose Hill now, I will be calling him the beautiful people. So I do apologise.
So you mean Chris Waller doesn't want to be associated with us in the West?
He's number one West. That's what I'm saying, MG. Oh, he took umbrage with me calling it the Wild West.
No,
he's one of your loyal listeners, and he was not very happy with me, so I do apologise.
No, we love being called the Wild West because we are wild and woolly, baby.
I love it. Well, look, whether you want to take a same race multi on the Hunter or whether you want to have a same game multi for the World Cup final Monday morning, bet with Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie. Dunk, enjoy your weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You too, buddy.
MG, we're in the midst of the NRL free agency frenzy, so I imagine that player managers are probably about the busiest people in sport right now.
I would say so, yeah.
The only person that would rival them for busyness, for, you know, workload currently, is the CEO of No Limit Boxing, George Rose, who has got the Australian boxing world in the palm of his hands at the moment. There's that much going on. We welcome him into the Rush Hour. G'day, George.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Georgie, you would be one busy man. You've got this unbelievable fight coming up between Zoo and Inouye, which we'll get stuck into in a second. You've also got an amazing card with the ex-football players, Gallen and O'Shea Ole and Heinington and BJ. Let's first start with Zoo. This young guy, Inouye, he's come to Australia looking cut and buff and actually looks more like a CrossFit competitor. How good's he look?
Mate, I watched the photos and the videos of him before he came across. You know, I haven't met him in the flesh before. When he turned up, ripped his shirt off, Mate, he's like a bodybuilder. It's crazy. He's that shredded. It's unfair how good he looks.
Do you, this fight obviously happening next week, do you think the Aussie fans are unaware just what a threat, in a way, poses to Tim Zhu? Like, he's number seven ranked in the world.
No, well, I think that's the problem that Timmy has at the moment, is that he's, everyone expects that he's going to win every fight that he goes into now. We, you know, we all love Timmy and we're all behind Timmy and we just think he's going to win everything. They don't realise that if Tim has even a slightly off night against this bloke, it's a loss on his record. It's a really tough fight. He's number seven in the world. He's only lost to a world champion in a world title fight. And and now he's coming up against Tim.
What's been the process, Georgie, of young Inoue? Has he had to isolate to come to Australia? Has he been in quarantine for a couple of weeks? What's been the process?
No, well, it's very lucky that we came through through New South Wales, and the timing of everything with the international travel, it's been a lot more smoother. So he still had to go through strict protocols to be able to get here and upon landing, but everything's been much smoother and much easier to deal with. We had an international opponent previously and went through the big quarantine processes and it was very difficult. But I understand it's kept us all safe. Now we're in the position where we can do this.
So, George, all things going well, and you can never, there's no guarantees in the world of boxing, but all things going well next week, Tim Zhu wins this, becomes 20-0. What is the involvement of No Limit as far as his international journey? How do you play? Do you play a part in that when Tim goes off abroad and tries to win one of these world title belts?
Definitely, definitely. We're the guys that are pushing for him to get these fights. We're the guys that push to make sure that he was in the position to be a mandatory challenger, which he is now, which guarantees him a world title fight in the next 12 months. Assuming he keeps his winning run going. And that all depends on what happens with the world champion at the moment, because they're looking to rematch for the title again. So they had a unification fight that was a draw and they're looking to rematch. So Tim still, he still gets the mandatory challenger against the winner of that rematch. So we'll just keep fighting. The beauty of Tim is that he'll keep fighting his way to the top. He'll fight anyone, anytime to get his way to the top.
Okay. Now we've got that. Once we get these guys folded away and put to bed, Timmy and Inoue, we've got a massive card in December with finally the papers have been signed. Gallen versus Alawai, Heinington versus BJ Lalua, and I suppose I expect there's another couple of fights brewing. Another fantastic card. These ex-football players, they arouse things, don't they? They make things interesting in the ring.
Mate, it's exciting. They love a challenge. They're capable. They're big, strong, and angry. And they get in there and they have a crack. I mean, look at Gal. Who would have thought that he'd have the boxing career that he's had off the back of stepping in the ring once? And there's a few guys that are doing the same thing now. And who knows what'll come of it?
I've got to ask though, George. How does your former club Manly? Has there been any comments made from your former employer, the Manly Seagulls, about you taking one of their forwards for next season and putting him in a ring with the G-Train?
Oh, look, it's a tough fight. It's a dangerous fight. Anything in the heavyweight, you get clipped.
Oh, you're
dropped.
Not wrong.
But the thing is that the training that he's going to do to prepare for this fight, he'll be in the best shape of his career. So he'll be getting more minutes out on the field, and it's going to help him in the long run. You look at Junior Paulo when he made his his fight in boxing. He went from being a big, you know, slower moving big guy to now he can pump out 80 minutes if he needs to, and it's that work ethic and that training that you get from boxing that can benefit you.
Jeez, he sells it well, doesn't he, MG?
Well, I tell you, that's he's fantastic at it. And poor Gallen, Georgie, have you ever met a guy who promotes his boxing matches as well as him, like in Australia?
Mate, he's the best. He's the best. There's a reason that he's a pay-per-view star, and that's because people want to see him either smash someone or get absolutely smashed, and he talks the talk, and he backs it up. He gets in there and backs it up. The people that he stepped in the ring with...
I know. Like,
oh, I wouldn't even talk about doing that in private in case they heard me. You don't want to have to back that up.
No. Well, we spoke to Josh on the show, and there's a bit of a murmur going around that, you know, he's a Golden Gloves kid as a child, a bit younger, and he can throw his hands. He's been sparring since he can walk, and all this kind of, you know, allure that he's throwing out. And he said to us, he said, look, we kind of posed the question to him after the Dally M with, you know, Peter Vellandi's calling him what he called him. We kind of made up his own walkout song, and I want to know if you guys at No Limit would be interested in this.
one vote. Oshay Ollo, 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 one vote.
Here we go.
Oshay Ollo, one vote. One vote. One vote. Oshay Ollo, one vote. Oshay Ollo, one vote. Oshay Ollo, one vote. Oshay Ollo, one vote. Oshay Ollo.
And the Newcastle Entertainment Centre explodes.
Goes ballistic.
Mate, it's a shame this isn't a video interview. You would have been able to see me cut and shave before you. That, I love it. I love it. Is there copyright on that? Are we able to use that?
No, it's mate. It's yours, buddy.
We are happy to gift that to Josh Alawai and No Limit for the purposes of this fight on Friday the 10th of December. Because, look, we're excited. We've had both of the blokes on the show. And they've to Josh's credit, he's not shying away from the barb game as well. He's promoting the fight nicely.
Mate, he's very confident. And I think it's just because he's so confident in his ability. Mm. I honestly think that he thinks that he's going to end Gal's boxing career. So, mate, he's ready to back it up.
But you know, as footballers, Georgie, you hear through the grapevine, you hear about these guys when they do, you know, opposed or they do sparring at clubs, and you learn to know which, like David Fernand was one in my era who you wouldn't go near in a fisticuff. And I think the same has been said about Josh Alawai, that you don't, if you're going to fight, you don't go near him. So that's one guy he's bringing it, isn't he?
Definitely. And there is, like you said, there's guys out there that people talk about. Every year, there's always a heap of guys who say, I want to have a fight. I want to fight this bloke or that bloke. But not many of them actually back it up. But Josh is one guy who, like, stone cold, he'll just confidently say, yeah, I'll do it, and back it up. Like,
wow.
Well, I'm not one of them guys. I'm the guy who talks in the background. Like, yeah, I'll just
and you know what?
Him,
you've,
like,
gee, how far you've come. You have been, you're like a bloke. You're like the new Eddie Maguire. You are. You're just doing things so well. And you know what? Big credit to you because you're passionate about something. As you were your footy career, but this is the next level after your footy career. And you're doing a fantastic job, mate. Well done.
No, definitely. I absolutely love it. And I love putting on a good show. I love putting on fights that I want to see and that I hope everyone else wants to see.
MJ makes a good point. You retired. Your final season in first grade was 2015. 6 years on, you're the CEO of this boxing promotional Juggernaut. Company that has got, as I said at the beginning, the Australian boxing scene in the palm of its hand, and with Tim Tszyu, potential to go international next year.
Yeah, look, it's massive. A lot of hard work's gone into it. Yeah. It definitely hasn't been an overnight success, and there's been a lot of long days, long nights, and hard work that's gone into it. But that's why, I think the reward of where we're at right now feels so much better because we worked hard to get here.
Yeah, outstanding work. Well done, George and MG. In the time it's taken for us to have a chat with George, he's had six other NRL footballers call him up wanting a fight. So we're going to let this man go because he's got fights to promote, things to do. George Rose, the CEO of No Limit Boxing, appreciate your time. Good luck with the fight next week and with this big card in December.
Thanks a lot, boys. Thanks for having me.
Almost time to roll into your weekend, MG. We are just about done. But as we do every Friday, producer Charlie strolls in with his sheet of paper filled with blanks for us to fill in.
Today he's got his beanie on. It must be cold outside, but this is obviously one of my favourite segments of the week. A, it's Friday, but B, it pays homage to one of the best entertainers ever on Australian TV, the late, great Graham Kennedy, who used to host a show back in the late 70s and early 80s called Blankety Blanks.
Yep, producer Charlie has sporting sentences with blanks in them that MG and I need to fill in. Charles.
Hello, boys.
Hello, buddy.
I'll start it off with an easy one. Blank is the key to Australia winning the T20 World Cup.
Matthew Wade and his moustache, his glorious moustache, that is the key.
Dave Warner.
Love it.
Dave Warner's got to get us up to it. You've got to get at least a 50 or 60.
We saw a clandestine meeting in a Chinese restaurant.
That's my word.
That is your word.
I want to know, blank is your favourite Chinese menu item?
Oh, good question.
Duck pancake.
Well done.
By far.
Oh, give me a spring roll.
Oh,
just
God,
come
roll.
On, get inventive, mate. What's that?
Hold on, you've gone with a anyway. Duck pancake.
Spring roll's a bit boring.
Hold on, but you didn't ask for my most flamboyant and interesting menu item.
What's your favourite? That's your favourite.
That's what I go to every time. Give me some
springies. You have a whole meal of spring rolls.
Do you have a whole meal of duck pancakes?
Yes.
And
Szechuan chicken.
I blame the question. I think it was a poorly worded question.
I love the question. I love Chinese food too.
All right, boys. If you could go back in time and relive any sporting event and take over the main character from that sporting event and live it, Ooh. So you could take over Matty Wade last night, for example, and you're Matty Wade. You can
feel
pick
like
anything.
I lived that. I feel like I lived that this morning.
What would you pick, boys?
I'm probably going back to 1991 when Penrith won the comp and Royce Simmons scored in the corner. I'll, instead of passing the ball, I wanted to score the try. I want to score, you buffhead.
Look, I'd love to know the feeling of fighting in the Thriller in Manila or the Rumble in the Jungle and landing one of those big shots.
No, you wouldn't.
I would. I'd love, well, provided I didn't get hurt.
Yes. Well, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen.
But I'm assuming I don't get hurt.
No. You're reliving.
Oh, the whole thing.
Like, so you are the...
Then I'm not boxing. No. Give me the Michael Jordan game winner.
Against Utah.
Buzzer beater.
Against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The big... It's back... earlier on in his career and he goes around and throws the big iconic jump moment. Give me that. Nice. Give him MJ's match winner.
All right, boys. We're set for a pretty grim weekend in New South Wales, so I want to know your rainy day movie.
Ooh.
Mine is Primal Fear. It's something that it's been 1994 or something, 95, and I watched it. It's a fantastic, you got to wait, a bit of a spoiler, you got to wait till right to the end for a bit of a spoiler. And I watched it on the plane coming back from Perth to Sydney to play in a game, and I'd watched them, and I watched all the expressions on my teammates' faces when they saw the ending of it, and I went, ha-ha, yeah. That's my weekend movie.
That's a top two performance of Ed Norton's career. I think American History X is his one, and I think Primal Fear is his two. Yeah, great movie. Do you know what? I love a Guy Ritchie film. I'd happily revisit Snatch and Lockstock. Lockstock's A1, Position 1A, and I think Snatch at 1B. So you just give me a Guy Ritchie marathon.
Even The Gentleman was a good movie.
He's most recent. Right. Look, he's tailed
off
a little.
The Gentleman?
Yeah. I love The Gentleman.
We don't need to talk about his when he redid Robin Hood and put David Beckham in as a cameo. We don't need to talk about that. But everything else has been great.
I think The Gentleman's one of the best movies in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I agree.
Really?
What a cast.
I'm seeing James Bond this weekend as well.
What's yours, Charlie? What's your rainy day? A rom-com of sorts?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a rom-com cuddled up with Siobhan. Maybe put a bit of Notting Hill on. Love Actually.
How predictable, but how romantic.
Hugh Grant. Like, I imagine myself as Hugh Grant.
You are a bit of a pommy.
Well, he can't say tour either, so yeah, you bang on.
There you go. Finally, boys, we found out Chris Waller listens to the show. Yeah.
We did. Found that out today. Courtesy of our mate Duncan McRae from Bluebet, told us that the Melbourne Cup winning trainer Chris Waller is a listener to the show.
So I want to know, blank is the big name who listens to the Rush Hour.
That we think listens to the Rush Hour? Look, I'm going to go straight to the top. I think with what RPM tries to do, identifies your average bloke, the way he switched from being a Rooster supporter to being a Sharky supporter in the hope no one would notice. I think he fully listens. He's a dedicated podcaster to this show because he wants to know what the common man and common woman is interested in, and that's what we deliver here. So I think PM, ScoMo listens.
I think Wayne Bennett listens to us. I've got no doubt he listens to us.
Recruiting tips.
Yeah, I think basically, who doesn't? Everyone listens to us.
I hope Wayne Bennett doesn't, because I feel like I might have taken the piss out of Wayne a couple of times.
Don't worry, he listens.
Wayne scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, him, Gus Gould. Gus Gould's scary.
Oh, Gus Gould is, both lovable larrikins behind the scenes, but...
They create fear with their silence.
That's right.
It's just the look.
That's what they don't say that's worrisome.
Yeah. It's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Very nice work, Charles.
That's probably the best of the year. There you go.
Well done. Only two more editions of Blankety's.
I know.
Maybe you'll take it on the road. Maybe you freelance it next year.
I'll take to all the different rush hours around
just
the country.
See who's interested. MG, we're going to get out of here. Say goodbyes.
As always, thank you so much for your ears, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend. On behalf of Charlie, Liam and the MG, wherever you are, stay random.
Bet on the Spring Carnival with Bluebet, the true blue Aussie bookie.